We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Fink.
Are we still live?
Till the 68 till I die.
I'm sorry, man. I blacked out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands grown up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid-majors.
This is Field of 68. After dark.
That's right. It's Field of 68 After Dark. Welcome in. We're on SiriusXM. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on X, as we always are throughout the college basketball season. It is March 6th, 2024. I'm John Martin. I'm joined tonight by two ACC legends, Terrence Oglesby, John Henson. Three panelists tonight for each guaranteed ACC bid. Gentlemen, good to be with you tonight. We got a lot to touch on in a busy college basketball night. Hey, after this show is over, we're moving over to the Stadium app exclusively for Last Call. All you got to do is download the all-new app, it's the Stadium app. Interact with us during Last Call. That means ask questions about college basketball that we may not touch on in this hour on SiriusXM. Join the live chat, play interactive games for a chance to win prizes. We want to hear from you. Download the app now, join in the conversation, enjoy Last Call. Guys, good to be with you as always. Let's start with what happened in the Big East tonight. UConn snaps a 21-game losing streak on the road against ranked teams, getting it done 74-67. As you see there, Alex Caravan led the way with 23 points. Now, again, you have to say, T.O., as you know, no Kolek tonight for Marquette, but how about this performance on the road by the UConn Huskies, who just continue to roll?
Well, I think it was impressive, especially at the beginning, because Marquette took off. They were ready to go on senior night. And Kolek not playing, obviously, is just so big. But I think the one thing that you can point to with this UConn team is their composure. Danny Hurley's found a system. And Donovan Klingon's as good as advertised, and Tristan Newton's even better. They are very much in the driver's seat to repeat as national champions because, one, the way they play is very conducive to the NCAA tournament because they're so big, they're so physical, and they have a big point guard in Tristan Newton that's just going to be able to settle them down and be the best player on the floor, the best collegiate player on the floor in 95% of the games that they play. So this UConn team, as good as they are, they also got some extra help today from my man Alex Caravan, who's finally hitting shots. If he's hitting shots and spacing the floor, my God. How do you guard them? I don't know. That's the big that's your conundrum if you're any Big East team or any other team in the country that gets matched up against UConn in the NCAA tournament.
John, what do you think?
The Hurley Express continues to roll, man. I mean, he's they're playing well. Obviously, they didn't have their All-American Big East Player of the Year, so this game was more of a, you know, they looked focused, they looked like they were in tune. I just like the way they play. They move the ball seamlessly, selflessly. Tristan Newton, Klingon, you know, Caravan, Cam Spence. I mean, they look primed for a run, a deep run. So today was just another step towards getting to where they need to be in March. And, you know, obviously we can't say enough about how they've been playing. Unfortunately, Marquette didn't have their star player, but UConn is UConn, man. And they look really good.
Does John have like the ghost from The Ring in his house? You see, does anybody else see that? I'm just a little nervous. Nervous about the. I see like some static, man. Just make sure everything is cool over there. Yeah.
Right. You know, these 4K cameras, man. I don't know, like these 4K cameras, like they're, you know, they sound. I don't know what's going on here. Well, maybe I didn't break out, figure it out.
Just but hopefully, there's no. Just keep an ear in the event you like hear some weird stuff in the kitchen, bro. I'm looking out, for man. All right. Seen those movies before. T.O., from the Marquette perspective, you mentioned it. They were ready to go. And it's so hard when, you know, you don't have your engine, which is Cola, who drives everything. But they did get Oso back tonight. And obviously Cam Jones did pitch in with 18. Just how do you assess this Marquette team? I mean, I assume they believe they will get Cola back. I mean, it seems a little hard to assess them without knowing when and how effective he's going to be.
One assist in the first half did Marquette have. One assist. That says almost everything you need to know. And I'm not saying he would have given six or seven in that first half, but what Kolick does when they're running that five out with Oso at the top, it's not just him passing the ball. It's him going to set those down screens, curling off those down screens, setting the screens for the guy he's curling off of. He just has such a good awareness, not only with the ball, but without it. And as a result, guys are able to get open shots just by his presence being on the floor. And he's the rare guy who's averaging over seven assists that probably has just as many screening assists, because he just knows where guys are all the time and how to create open lanes for his teammates. Cam Jones, really good player. He was good tonight. 18 points on 7 of 15 shooting. Oso Iguodaro, he ran into a buzzsaw a little bit trying to attack anything inside of 8 feet, because Donovan Klingon's a man down there. He did have some good spots, sure, but Kolick's the guy who makes this go. With or without the ball, they go from a team that can win one game in the tournament or two maybe, to if Kolick's back, they can make a Final Four. He's that big of an impact guy. And look, Trey Norman came in. He was good today. Ben Gold, I'm a massive fan of. I think you're going to be able to see his best basketball after Iguodaro's gone. But Kolick just impacts their offense so much, not just with the assists, but with his general movement and his willingness to not be the guy who has to chase the ball, if that makes sense. And I know John knows what I'm talking about there.
Yeah. We had Kendall Marshall. We were number one overall seed. He gets injured. We get to the Elite Eight, but we could not do anything with Kansas. Tyshawn Taylor ripped us apart, especially at the end when we needed, you know, points and we needed good possessions. And that's kind of what Marquette's going to do with if Kolick can come back. He is the engine, more so than Kendall was for our team, that runs Marquette. Like T.O. said, one assist in the first half. That doesn't sound like Marquette basketball. Iguodaro had to be a lot more aggressive. I'm sure that was a game plan. Look, we need you to be aggressive against Kling and try to get him in foul trouble. But going through him, over him, is probably not the best thing to do. Especially
and since he can't shoot, John, since he can't shoot too, Kling can just sit back there. And that don't give me the single cam. I'm talking back and forth to John. Since he can't go, since he can't shoot the basketball, Klingon can sit back, and because he can sit back like that, that takes away a lot of those passing angles too to some of these backdoor cutters, right? Like that five out offense, if you have a five guy that can't really shoot it, it's really, really hard to run, especially when you have a monster playing defense at the five.
And I get the strategy of going at a shot blocker. That's how you attack him, but didn't work tonight. He didn't have the size and the length to really affect Klingon. Klingon had four blocks, but I mean, he probably affected the game way more than those four blocks, 12 rebounds. He had a problem. And so if Marquette gets Kolick back, they'll be fine. If not, they're in trouble. I just wonder what the committee does if he doesn't play before the tournament. What do they do with their seeding? How do they seed him? Do they keep the same seeding per se? So that'll be interesting too, because – you know, you go down a couple seeds and you're going to mess around and have Kentucky or somebody the second game, you know, somebody that's, you know, maybe a Tennessee. You're not a Tennessee, but, you know, a higher seed. So you don't want that.
John, I want to ask you, you know, because you came in the year after UNC, you know, won it all. And I'm not trying to blame you for what happened that year, bro. I'm not trying to put that on you, but it speaks to how difficult it is right after you win the title to maintain that level. Now, again, I think you guys had a lot more names and faces changed than UConn has, but I mean, UConn lost a little, quite a bit with Sanogo and Hawkins. Like, how impressive is it knowing that they lost the production they lost and they're still, I mean, they're even better from a regular season standpoint?
You know, John, we lost just Tyler Hansbrough, Ty Lawson, Wayne Ellington, Danny Green. We lost.
That's it. That's all.
But I mean, we knew that, you know, Sanogo leaving, Klingon was going to step in, Newton was staying. I think the biggest get for them was Cam Spencer. That changed the game. Whereas, like, you know, when I did the Miami game and I talked to Coach Larry Nega, he was like, you know, we missed out on Cormac Ryan and Cam Spencer, and we really needed that in our starting lineup. And so if UConn doesn't have Spencer, then all of a sudden Diarra is a little more on his shoulders. Castle can't really warm up and get to where he needs to be as a freshman and kind of take his time. They're going to need more out of him. So it was the perfect storm for that team. And shout out to Coach Hurley for bringing him in. I think that was the most impactful transfer in the country, potentially, especially being a team that just won it. Like, the rich got richer at this point.
I caught hell for saying this, John, but I think Cam Spencer is a better collegiate player this year, just this year, than Jordan Hawkins was last year for this UConn team. And the reason being, it's the added playmaking with the ball. It's the toughness plays. Jordan Hawkins is going to play a lot longer in the NBA or at the professional ranks as long as he wants because he shoots it so well. You can run offense for him. You can do all that. But in the college game, it's different. These big, burly guards that might not be able to jump over a phone book, like, there's a lot of value in those tough guys right at the college level.
With Hawkins, it was kind of like feast or famine, right? Like, if he was on,
we're
jumping for joy. But some games we'd be like, he was like J.R. Smith, like, he'll shoot you in, he'll shoot you out. Fortunately for them, during the tournament, he shot him in. So Cam is definitely a lot more solid, a lot more dependable per se down the stretch as a playmaker, which it only helps because he can shoot it just as well as Hawkins.
T.O., as we're going through sort of the ramifications of this game, I'm curious because you've gone viral for your Coach of the Year opinions in the past. Should Dan Hurley win that award? And I mean, you get penalized sort of because the roster that you bring back, I understand that. But, you know, it feels like when you take what he did in the regular season a year ago compared to winning the Big East for the first time in forever – this year, that I know it's a talented team, but you still have to go out there and do it, right? So should he be the front runner? Should he win that award?
In my mind, it's between him, Lamont Paris, and Danny Sprinkle. It has to be those three. After that, there's a lot of guys to be considered, and I'm sure somebody's going to mention somebody that I forgot. But for those top three, I think Danny Sprinkle not having a single player come back to Utah State and to have the year that he has had, that's huge. Lamont Paris in a big-time turnaround year for a roster that's basically the SoCon All-Stars outside of a couple guys. And then Danny Hurley, must be something about the guy's name Danny, to be honest with you. But Danny Hurley bringing Klingon on, still managing to find ways to win early in the season with Klingon hurt, and kind of developing some of these other pieces and hanging on to Samson Johnson, which there's times where he's been frustrating for UConn fans, sure, but, man, he's a very good backup, And I think, you know, letting Castle kind of develop into his role, but it's those two guards and Klingon that make them so dangerous. And if Caravan's hitting shots, guys, oh, buddy. I mean, there's just so much to like. It's no longer Penny Hardaway, to be honest with you, after that January prediction that I had. Not Penny. Definitely not Penny. But I think that would be my three. That would be my three.
John, you have watching Danny Hurley do his thing. I mean, he's grown a lot because I remember when UConn was in the American, I saw it up close and personal. Those UConn teams were not even close to resembling what he's built now.
Now, you know, he's assembled a roster of, you know, I mean, like, Klingon was in his backyard. I mean, he got lucky with that, right? Like, that was a lucky, you know, that's what happens.
They're playing in the American, John.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still UConn, though.
It's still UConn, but like the way that their offense is humming, like I enjoy watching them play. You know what I'm saying? Like I just enjoy the way they move it. They share the ball. So they're going to be a tough out just off the strength of their style of play. I mean, they
play. I don't think UConn just goes out.
Yeah,
I don't think UConn goes out.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about that shit. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. At this point,
I can't. Yeah, I can't. I mean, you know, something wonky happens. You know, maybe, but
yeah.
If the way that their style of play, they're not going to beat themselves, and you better pray to God. You better pray to God that they don't have a good game, or it's just going to be a buzzsaw moment, right?
For anybody. Curtains. It's been curtains for a lot of teams this year, and they keep rolling tonight, man. Don't step in front of that train. That's a mistake if you do that.
The Hurley right. Express.
That's right. You get it, man. Don't step in front.
If you ever thought there was a place to make John richer, take the Hurley
Express. Right. That's right. We'll get to Tennessee and more on the other side. Go to 68 after dark.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back. Field of 68 After Dark. We're on Sirius XM. We're on X. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We'll be here for another 45 minutes or so. Then we're moving over exclusively to the Stadium app. Download it if you don't have it yet. We'll be answering all your questions. So send those in. We'll get to them. Anything goes. All right. As it relates to the Big East, T.O., Obviously, we've talked a lot about UConn. When you evaluate and you assess this league, who else do you sort of put in the category of hard out, could see him cutting down the nets? Like, who else belongs in that discussion, if anybody, with the Huskies?
You know what? I got a little apprehensive when talking about Creighton earlier this year, just because they had some losses that's made you scratch your head. They lost by 21 to Colorado State on a neutral site. They lost to UNLV. And I was like, gosh, are we seeing – is Steven Ashworth the guy that can make that replacement? Man, they figured it out as of late. And what have they won? Six out of their last seven. They've been terrific. Steven Ashworth has turned back into the player that they need him to be, understanding like, hey, I'm going to let the ball go. I'm going to let Baylor Shireman and Trey Alexander be that guy. And like, now it's all starting to work on top of having the best interior five-man defensively. And I'm saying that with Donovan Klingon in the league, with Zach Edey being dominant. But defensively, Kalkbrenner's as good as anybody in college basketball, because whenever he has a vertical contest, and Robbie Hummel and Jeff Goodman talked about this the other day, he almost bends his arms backwards. The guy doesn't foul, and he is constantly attacked, and they bend everything they do around what he does defensively and his ability to protect the rim. I think you got to throw Creighton in there. And I think there's a lot of teams. That Big East tournament, Madison Square Garden, is going to be electric. Shaheen's got his guys at Seton Hall playing well. You saw them win tonight over Villanova. There's a lot to like about the Big East Conference, and it just keeps on rolling.
John, are you there on Creighton?
I don't want to be, but I am. They're good. They're sitting second in the Big East Tide. I mean, they've picked it up a little bit as of late. It scares me, a team with that style of play. I don't know. It just kind of scares me how they kind of live and die by the three, very high octane offense, high pace game. It kind of scares me a little bit. But, you know, even Seton Hall, like I watched them play tonight, like that's not going to be an easy team to knock out of that tournament. Even in the, when they get to Mark, you know, when they get to the NCAA tournament, I don't think you want to see Seton Hall. I don't know where they're projected. Probably what, 4 to 6 seed, I'm assuming. But that's not a team. That's one of those like 8 seeds, 7 seeds that you see, you know, when we were number one seed, we had to play like Washington and we had to play like a really talented Creighton team with McDermott and those guys. Like that's a team you don't want to see in the second day in that tournament. And just
John,
go from,
I think,
you know, St. John.
They're actually a 10-11. It depends on who you, which bracket you look at, but they're a 10-11. But I agree with you, man. That is not somebody a 6 seed wants to see, a Seton Hall. My God, they're tough. They've got guys who can score. I mean, like in Shaheen, like we were talking about, you know, coach of the year stuff, what he was doing up through mid part of January. People were talking about him being that guy too. Like that league, man, like it's a lot of fun. I don't know if you've ever been to the Big East tournament. You got to get there.
No, I haven't been to the Big East tournament.
It's more important than the NCAA tournament, according to Doster. Doster said whatever you do, it doesn't fucking matter. You do it, whatever, you know, you win the Big East tournament, you could lose in the first round of the NCAAs, you get a lifetime contract. That's what Doster says. I'll take his word. I'll take his word at that.
I mean, Doster's a UConn guy. We can't take it that serious.
exactly. Hey, T.O., real quick, last thing on the Big East before we get to some history tonight in the SEC. You mentioned Ashworth, and what's crazy to me about his season is that first month and a half, he really wasn't very good. He was actually kind of struggling. And he's playing his
beginning.
Exactly. And now you would think it would be inverted, like soft non-conference. You get to the Big East, it's going to be tougher, but he's playing his best now that he's in Big East play. Like, is that just a matter of acclimating? Is that just he's a big game player? Like, what's the difference with Ashworth?
I think the biggest thing, more than anything, it's role definition. And like, I think people thought they were going to slot him exactly where Nembhard was last year. Well, he's not the same kind of player. He's not that level of explosive, but what he is he's a knockdown shooter. And you're playing to their strengths. I find it funny because I keep talking about Creighton's defense and how good they are. They're dead last in Division I in turnover percentage, forcing turnovers. Dead last. Yet, they're 24th in the country in defensive efficiency. Now, what does that tell you? It is hard to score on Creighton, and they're not going to turn you over. They're just going to be solid every freaking possession. And they can get up and defend you because they have the big man behind you. I think that's the big thing with Creighton. They're going to continue to be good, guys. I'm going to be honest, like, the more I watch them, the more it's like they fly, they're hard to guard. There's so much, there's so many shooters. And the fact that Baylor Shireman's as good a rebounder as he is, it just adds another element of grab and go. They're fast and they can still shoot it. And they just have guys running the lanes like crazy.
Yeah. Don't forget, you know, a free thrower here or there away from a Final Four appearance last season. So, I mean, they're built for this.
They can pile it on. Those teams that can pile it on, they're always scary because, like you said, the defensive efficiency is really good. And that three starts falling, they start to look like a UConn, right? Like, it's just bang. Like, even Kentucky tonight against Vanderbilt, like, that game was a close 16-point win, if like, you just how they play their style of play, the threes, the pace, it's – yeah, it could get ugly fast against Creighton.
Yeah,
like,
hey, that's a four more. Yeah, I know. And against a team like UConn, they could beat UConn. Why? Because they could shoot over the top of UConn, right? Like, to where Marquette couldn't do that tonight without their setup guy. They couldn't shoot over. Creighton can, and everything's matchup based. We know this. Hey, guys, don't look now. Don't look now. Our man Ricky P, they've won four in a row. They've got one more game at home against Georgetown, and they've got real momentum heading into Madison Square Garden. Dude, I'm telling you, guys, if you're not going to Mountain West with me, because that's where I'll be, hey, Big East is going to be a hell of a conference tournament.
At the beginning of the season, I said, come hell or high water, Rick Pitino will have them boys ready. I knew it. I mean, he's a good coach. He's a Hall of Famer, man. I was one of my good friends, coached at Louisville, and he implements his strategy with high school kids, and they beat people down. So,
No question.
Yeah, he's a good coach, man.
On to some other things that happened in college basketball tonight. Tennessee wins at number 17 ranked South Carolina, 66-59. And in doing so, T.O., they have clinched their first outright SEC crown in 16 years, which amazingly was 2008. Which is like, oh, I thought that was like 98. Like,
is that Lofton? Is that Chris Lofton?
Yeah, I think that was that Lofton.
You're damn right it is. Right. Chris Lofton, all those guys.
Animal.
Wayne Chisholm.
Ooh, Wayne Chisholm.
Tyler with the head. John Martin. Real quick. Do you know the words to Rocky Top?
Yeah, it's a good old Rocky Top. Woo! Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Rocky Top, hey, how bad did that hurt? First of all, how bad did that hurt? Secondly, we just talked about UConn potential to win a national championship. I'm going all in on Tennessee, guys. I think they're that good. Rocky Top, Knoxville, Thompson Bowling, the whole shtick. I think they're that good. You bring back a team, basically everybody on the roster. You bring back a team that makes the Sweet 16, runs into Florida Atlantic, and now you end up playing against you end up bringing in Dalton Knecht, who's the best on-ball scorer. What did they miss last year? An on-ball scorer.
Yeah.
Santiago Vescovi couldn't create for himself whenever they played Florida Atlantic. They didn't have anybody that could kind of make something happen. They now have that, and the defense hasn't gone anywhere. Good old Rocky Top. They're going to be singing that in Phoenix. I'm telling you, these guys are dangerous, and whenever you have a scorer like Knecht, it's going to be everybody in the state of Tennessee, even the people in Memphis, John, even the people in Memphis are going to be singing.
I don't think they're going to get that.
Everyone
ain't going to get that. That's where the limit, that's where the line is drawn. But John, this is a Tennessee program that has, you know, under Rick Barnes, probably you would say fallen a little short in the NCAA tournament. Is this team going to be different as T.O. prognosticates?
They're going to be different. I watched them tonight. What team in the country can the fact that they're doing this is at the college level is insane, but what team in the country clears it out and says, go to work for a bucket?
Yeah.
What team can do that? And yes, you got to live and die with his offense, but I mean, he hit a tough pull up jumper to stop the bleeding. And then he comes down and he takes a three, but it was a good shot because you hit that three isolation, game over for sure, right? So I was just sitting back like, wow, there's no team in the country that can just back it up and say, look, go to work. Dalton will live with the results. So in the NCAA tournament down the stretch, to have that luxury where you don't got to run the set. Like, you know, I say this with like Carolina, right? Like, they struggle to finish games because they don't have a guy that they can go to get a bucket, a good shot. Kinect's going to get a good shot. He's going to shoot over. He's tall. He can make plays. So that is going to be interesting to see how that develops in the tournament. They're playing well right
hey,
now.
Hey, hold on. I got a question, John. I got to throw this one in there. So you said Carolina doesn't have a guy who can create at the end. RJ doesn't qualify, or are you just talking about bigger guards?
I don't think that you can give him the ball and say, go get me a bucket. Now, he can get a – like, he can get a shot, but they have to run things for him. Like, they have and even so, he's not like a blow-by – you know, go get like, nah, he's going to probably try to break you down, feet in the mud, three ball or float you. But I mean, Dalton Connect get you down in the post. He can shoot it over you. He gets you in the lane. He can rise up. I mean, he's a pro. Maybe a top 10 pick.
I'm with you.
I think he might
be a top 10 pick now. Like it only takes one team to love you. Yeah. Yeah, good size, 6'6", 6'7".
He's going to be a top 10 for sure.
Oh, I completely agree, especially in today's NBA. Like, he goes to Tennessee to play defense, and Barnes is like, yeah, I'll teach you a little bit of defense, but I'm going to go hide you because I need you to get 40 on a given night. So he played a little bit of defense at the beginning, not so much now.
We love white guys that could get buckets in the NBA. Ask Chandler Parsons. He's probably on a yacht in Bora Bora somewhere.
Yeah, it's like that
Kevin Herter. Like Kevin Herter, another one.
Hey, it's like
shout out my guy. Hey, South Carolina's good too. And they're top 20 in the country. Lamont's done a great job there. I'm a big fan of Colin Murray Bowles, who reminds me a lot of Trevor Booker. They both average almost the identical numbers, 6'7", 231. Booker was 6'7", 235. They're kind of the same thing. What I will say is I like what Tennessee's doing for Kinect at times because they're not giving it to him and dribbling the ball at the court a la Caleb Love last year for Carolina. He's getting rid of it. He's giving it to Vescovi. He's giving it to some of these other guards, Ziegler, and he's coming off, you know, floppy action, and then they're clearing out. So at least other guys are touching the ball a little bit and they don't completely lose their rhythm. And let's be honest, like, that entire Tennessee team is built to have – one guy who's really good like that. Josiah Jordan James doesn't need the ball. Vescovi doesn't need the ball. Ziegler doesn't need the ball. Adu doesn't need the ball. They've got those players. And now that you put him into a team that already made the Sweet 16, I'm telling you guys, they're right there at it. And they're every bit as physical as any team in college basketball, UConn included. Watch out for Rocky Top.
And you could argue that Ziegler could play a lot better, right? Like, if Ziegler somehow finds his rhythm in this last stretch of games, it's going to, you know, the timely threes that he usually hits, even getting into the lane, he hasn't really gotten to the lane and attacked like he usually does. So I think we're looking at a floor Ziegler as well. So if he figures it out, you know, then it gets even more scary.
Yeah, I think when we talk about the top four teams, I think the top three are pretty solidly submitted there. But I think, you know, depending on how things shake out in the Pac-12 and, you know, what Tennessee can do here in the SEC tournament, I think they're going to have a real chance to capture that last, you know, number one seed there. So when you can win on the road, you know, I agree. I mean, that's to me, that's what it comes down to. You can win on a neutral site. So big night for Tennessee, no question about it. All right, we'll get to the notable results around college basketball. Disappointing loss for Villanova, no question about it. Michigan State survives, all that and more on the other side. Field of 68 After Dark, back after this.
What's going on, guys? Before we get back to the show, I need to let you all know about the Field of 68 Daily, an all-encompassing college basketball newsletter that arrives in your inbox, you guessed it, daily. For less than $1 a week, you'll wake up every morning to more than 1,500 words detailing everything that you need to know to stay up to date on the world of college basketball. From the notable mid-major upsets to the stars that are out injured to the breakout performances that only our team of college basketball junkies watched. The Daily is edited and produced by Mike Miller, who spent more than two decades running NBC's digital written content, and is subscribed by more than half of the Division I coaching staffs, the biggest names in college basketball media, and the agents that work as power brokers in the sport. For just $50 for the year, you get access to the same information that the insiders get. And before we get you back to your regularly scheduled Field of 68 content, let me tell you guys about the Field of 68 merch store. Head over to fieldof68.shop for officially branded Field of 68 apparel. Whether you're supporting your favorite team in the student section or from the couch, there is no better way to gear up than the latest from the Field of 68. The best thing I can say about our merch is the quality of the product. Anyone that has ever worn a t-shirt knows how frustrating it is when the neck gets all stretched out and the bottom of the shirt starts looking like the bottom of bell-bottom jeans. And there's nothing worse than a hoodie that loses its snugness that makes it such a perfect way to stay warm during the cold winter weather. Whether you're shopping for yourself or for the college basketball fan in your life, everything you need is at the fieldof68.shop.
Welcome back, Field of 68 After Dark. Thanks for being with us here on a Wednesday, March 6th. As soon as this show is over, we're heading over to Last Call. The party does not stop. We head over to Stadium, where we will be answering all your questions about any and everything. So make sure if you have questions that we, you know, about teams that we may or may not have hit, get those in, and we'll answer them for a half hour over on the Stadium app. I'm John Martin, joined tonight by John Henson and Terrence Oglesby. We do have a final, T.O., in Lexington, 93-77. Kentucky does, after a competitive back-and-forth first half, they do eventually put Vandy away. This Kentucky team now feels like something is building here. Something is brewing here. Is this team bracing for a run in March from what you see, T.O.?
You know what? Any team that can score 110 points on a given night in 40 minutes, I mean, there's a lot of teams in college basketball who can guard. A lot of teams. There's not a lot of teams that can score 100 and some points. What I will say about Kentucky is sometimes they need to be, you know, jarred loose a little bit, because I feel like sometimes they're a little bit tight. DJ Wagner comes in there who, let's be honest, like, he's been up and down at times. Like, Reed Shepard's the guy that kind of settles everything down for them. 11 assists tonight. He comes into the game, everything slows down. Vanderbilt played well for the early part of this game, but this Kentucky team, it's almost like when it rains, it pours. Because them peaking at the right time, them doing some of these other things, getting those five men back in the fold. I'm a Zvonimir Visic fan. Like, is he going to play huge minutes? No, but I think he brings you something different at that five spot. This Kentucky team, since they're able to score so many freaking points, I don't think that they're going to be able to score 110 points whenever they hit the Sweet 16. I think that's where they're at right now because of that youth. They're Final Four capable. I just feel like anybody who can slow things down and make them play in the 70s, which is going to be hard, whoever can slow things down and make them play in the 70s, they're going to have a hard time with. But gosh, if there's not a more fun team to watch in college basketball, you guys let me know, because I haven't found one. The way they play, their competitiveness, it seems like every game, not only are they scoring 100, but the teams they're playing are up there in the 90s. Like, it's high quality, fun basketball, but not
a whole lot of defense. Yeah, they're scoring
100 too. We got a two-time defensive player of the year in his league. We got a guy on the other side of the screen who played no defense whatsoever.
That's right.
I love this kind of thing. So, like, it's just a lot of fun to watch. I feel like they're peaking, and I feel like Reed Shepard is the guy who makes it all go. I feel like we've said it enough, but my God, that is a talented offensive bunch.
Yeah. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. The only thing that worries about Kentucky is, I mean, for the first 17 minutes, Vanderbilt was right there with them. And you're not going to be able to do that even in the first round when you play a team that's either won their respective conference or a team that's made the tournament. Like, Vanderbilt just didn't have enough, and Kentucky just pours it on. I mean, from a perspective of how I look at Kentucky, when I like to lie bet Kentucky, right? Like, close game, and I see they start heating up with three, I take the line, because it could go from a 5 to a 16, 20-point game in 5 minutes. I don't think anyone in the country can play like that. I mean, even at the end of the game against Vandy was getting good shots, but Kentucky comes down and hits a three, fast break, Reeves off the glass. If you can score with them, you'll be fine, but defensively they worry me, because – I don't care how good you are offensively. If you get down 15, 20 points in this tournament, it's these teams are locked in, and I don't know if you can use that offensive firepower to come back. This is not going to happen. So they worry me a lot defensively, because they're not in the top 40, I believe, maybe top 20 in defensive efficiency. And that there's some metric, I think, that I think the last 21 out of 22 teams were in the top 27 defense and top 20 offense, and they're not in that category. So, So I don't think they have a chance to maybe win it, but they'll be fun to watch down stretch.
It's fun to watch. 98th in defense, which is nuts.
Like, yeah, that's
they don't. They don't profile, if you go by these things. They don't profile TO as the team that wins at all. But you know, I don't know that this was a team that was necessarily expected to do that anyway. So it's, you know, I just look at it like, you know, after that Gonzaga loss, with the exception of, you know, a fluky loss in Baton Rouge, this team is different. I mean, they're beating good teams. They're doing it on the road. Like, Vanderbilt's pure ass. I'm not really worried about tonight, but going on the road at Mississippi State. Hold on,
man. Watch out. Well, there's my boy Stack down there, man. Hold on, man.
Jesus. How many more Stacks. Losses?
Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse. Friend of the program. Friend of the program is Jerry Stackhouse.
I know, but it's like, God, damn, man. You know, when I keep trying to do something and I keep failing at it, eventually I like stop trying to do it. You know, like I just know it's not going to happen for me. So, I mean, I'm not making Jerry Stackhouse bandy money, but I mean, I'd be like, man, you know, forget this. I'm moving on. I'll just go do whatever else because this job's too damn hard in this day and age. Either way, Kentucky is a different team to you.
Yeah, they are. But you know what's crazy is, John, I missed you by a year because I left to go to Europe. But like, I felt like Wayne Ellington had this. And Danny Green to some extent had this. It's this spurt ability. Like the you alluded to it a little bit, to get 15 or 18 points in a row quick. And you turn your head, it's five possessions, you hit five threes. They have multiple guys who can do that on this team. Shepherd can do it. Dillingham can do it. Dillingham, you kind of have to live with some of the stuff that he does. Like, he's going to take a couple of bad ones and guys are going to look at him crazy. But Reeves is that guy. Like, that's the thing that gives you hope if you're a fan in Lexington that, like, we could win five in a row because we just have this irrational freshman confidence and we could hit 23s in this game. It could happen. And this ball could really get going because of the pace and how we play. And, guys, and Reed Shepherd running this show, it's as entertaining as ever. That's my thing. Like, a couple of guys, super spurtable, really good.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. All right, on to other results tonight in college basketball. Villanova closes as a 1-point favorite, John, on the road at Seton Flipped. Hall. But, yeah, goes. Did it flip? Okay, it flipped. But they do end up losing 66-56 to Seton Hall. For Seton Hall, from their perspective, this get them in? Should it get them in? What do you make of the Pirates here and what Shaheen Holloway is doing?
I like what they did. Villanova has been playing well as of late. I think through February they're like a top 10 rated team the way they've been playing. So this did seem like a big win per se, but it was. I mean, this was a bubble game, right? Villanova kind of cements their case a little more if they win. Seton Hall just further lets us know that they're for real in a sense of a tournament team and a team that's tough to beat. Down the stretch, I mean, Richmond and Davis, I mean, those they're tough. They're tough guys. They're tough. They're big. 6'6". They make shots. They make plays. They were just too much for Villanova. And Villanova had a valiant effort. It came back. Seton Hall was just too much. Shaheen Holloway has him playing with a kind of an edge, kind of, you know, when you look at when you see how he looks and talks to them in the huddle, when you see the inside of the huddle, like, you know, I love the way he coaches. And I think the sky's the limit right now. If Seton Hall starts getting some guys in and local guys and guys that can play, which, you know, he will end up doing, this is a team that could kind of go back to, I mean, when I was younger, Seton Hall was one of those teams. Like, Seton Hall was good. So it's fun to kind of see them back in the mix. They always had that rugged, like, New York, Northern guard, you know, centric offense. And so it's good to see them kind of getting back. I mean, they're one game top. They're one game out of second place. Like, who picked ninth this year in the Big East? So shout out to them, man, exceeding expectations.
You know, Shaheen's teams are going to play tough. And it took him a second to get Kadari Richmond, like, in the loop and in the mix. And when he's good, man, holy shit, is he good. Guys, you look at Villanova, though, I'm confused. Like, they spent a lot of money in the portal. And I think they're an 11, their last four in type of team this year. There's a lot of talent. And it fits the profile of what's been good at Villanova over the last 15 years, that roster does. And they paid good money for it, for good on them. Kyle Neptune is learning what he is. I think that's a big portion of this, because he was a head coach 1 year at Fordham, and then it's like, okay, I'm thrust into this seat that was occupied by Jay Wright for so long, and he still hasn't really found himself as a head coach. And so I'm curious. I feel like Villanova, that roster has enough talent to win a game or two in the NCAA tournament, but it's like they just can't – I don't know what's missing. And first thing people are going to say is, well, they don't have a point guard. Well, they've never really functioned with – one lead guard that brings the ball up every time. What they have had are guards that can, you know, get down, post up, and do some different things. So I'm curious to see exactly what happens at Villanova, how patient they are there. But you know, talent's there. They've been pretty disappointing, guys, for the entire.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. To just as a follow to Villanova, there, they seem firmly in the field. You know, as I assume a result of just being the Big East and picking up some wins there. Do they feel like a team that, with, you know, obviously Eric Dixon and Justin Moore and the experience there, do they feel like a team that, you know, could make some magic happen, or are you just not a believer in them?
No, I'm not a believer in them. Not this year. I don't think Kyle Neptune's figured himself out yet. That's where I'm at. They have the talent, sure. You know, Jay Wright being a little bit more involved this year, from everything that I've heard, is a good thing for Kyle, because it's you know, kind of helping him along. He's still figuring himself out. It's a big deal to move over one seat, guys. Like, it's a really big deal. You're asked for everything. You're asked for post-game meals, which one to eat. Like even those small things, you know, I've been disappointed, because I thought this Villanova team had the talent to be back in the top 10 where we've become so accustomed to seeing them.
Yeah. They should be better. I think the biggest thing of Villanova is, like, there's no, like, style of play. There's no, what do they want to do? What do they want to get to? You just don't really know. And when the game comes down the stretch, like Seton Hall, right? Get the ball in Richmond's hand, Davis's hand, let them make a play. Everybody fills in. But Villanova is kind of like, okay, well, you know, who's hot tonight? All right, we're going to run him off a screen. Like, tonight, you know, they ran Housen off. I think it was Housen, maybe off a screen to at the end. Like, I think they should have gave the ball to Justin Moore, right? Like, I think they should let him go. And, like, they shoot a lot of long, like, there's a lot of pull-up long twos, which I hate. You know, it's just really no identity, no kind of style of play that they're and it's showing in their win-loss record. You know, what are they? And if they can figure that out, I think they'll be better off, you know, Neptune and the guys over there. But it's going to be interesting to see, because next year is kind of going to be a show me year, right? Like,
Villanova, I agree.
It's not going to wait around. They're not going to wait around.
Yeah.
Yeah. The expectations, we know at Villanova, are a wee bit higher than just getting in the NCAA tournament. The expectation is to, you know, make real runs there. And obviously that has not happened. We'll see if they can do it this year. They'll be in. But again, it's not about that at Villanova. It's about, you know, having a chance to cut down nets. And it definitely feels like this team is worlds away from doing that. All right, we have a few more things and a few more games to touch on from the night. Michigan State survives Northwestern at home. Houston survives UCF on the road. Almost covers the full game. We'll get into all that and more. Field of 68, After Dark. We're on SiriusXM, YouTube X. Stay with us. We'll be back after this.
Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph Fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider the level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast. It really is that simple.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Field of 68 After Dark. We are on SiriusXM for the next 13 minutes or so. We're on YouTube, we're on X. And then as soon as we wrap up here, the party's not over. We are moving over to Stadium, okay? We're moving over to Stadium for Last Call. Last Call is now exclusively on the Stadium app. Download the all-new app. Interact with us during Last Call. Any questions you may have, send them in. We'll answer them. Join the live chat. Play interactive games for a chance to win prizes. We want to hear from you. We want to go back and forth with you. So download the app now, join in on the conversation, and enjoy Last Call. All right, T.O., it's been a grind, man. It's been a grind for Michigan State all year long, it feels like, from starting in the preseason top five to where they are now, which is, you know, in, but it just doesn't feel good. 53-49, kind of like their season. They just grind one out. What do we make of this Michigan State team as the season's wrapping up here?
I'm along the lines of just don't bet against Izzo. And at this point, are we just grandfathering in Izzo and any team that he has?
Yeah.
You know, the crazy part is KenPom has him at 19. Metrics always love Michigan State, and their defense is top 15 in the country consistently. And we talk a little bit about, you know, guards that can make things happen. Like Tyson Walker's in that conversation. He can make things happen. They just haven't had enough in the front court, to be honest. I think everybody acknowledges as such. But the thing is like their style of play, again, you know, we go back to talking about UConn and what they do and Tennessee and what they do and how big and how physical and how strong and they play through contact and all that. Michigan State, no matter what their talent level, they do that. They do those things and they foul the whole game and you can't call all of them. So it's like one of those things where it makes it difficult to really project where they can be just because they are geared for tournament play.
Tonight was a nasty game. 30% from the field for both teams. 2 out of 7.
This is why women's games are outrating men's games.
Yes. 60% from the free throw line. That's why Caitlin Clark is on ESPN, right?
Yes.
It was a nasty. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I didn't pay much attention. I would Kentucky and Tennessee and those games were a lot more appeasing to me as I sat on my couch. Just they grinded out a win. I mean, if Northwestern plays any kind of decent or Michigan plays any, I mean, it's probably a blowout. So this is just the epitome of Michigan State. We don't know what we're going to get. They're like a little wild card, right? And tonight they pulled out the victory, but the way that game was played, I don't think it did much for anyone. You know, Northwestern's down Ty Berry, which hurts them. You know, didn't it another nasty Big Ten in the mud game. And, you know, doesn't really change much for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Houston, as we go around the leagues here, Houston, despite being down 3 on the road at UCF, they were, of course, once AAC members, peers in the AAC, now Big 12 members. They stormed back in the second half, number one team in the country, and win once again 67-59. T.O., just the job, and I know we talk about it but I don't know if we talk about it maybe enough. I mean, the idea that Kelvin Sampson can take exactly what he was doing in the AAC, which was running it and dominating it, and then come over to the Big 12, which is widely accepted by at least some people as the best league in college basketball, and do the same
maybe
damn thing.
Maybe it's the same level of league, John. Maybe it's the same level of league.
No, it can't possibly be the second. Like, it can't possibly be South Florida. Because South Florida's winning the AAC. It's unserious.
Don't disrespect South Florida. I was at the gym the other day. I remember when there was $80 court side seats in the USF games. You can't even get court side anymore, man.
What are they now, 92?
Hey, get them. I remember I forget who they played. Chattanooga. My boy's like, let's just go see a court side. It's like $80, right?
Like, that's crazy.
Hold on, man. We don't know how good USF is.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we do. They lost to Hofstra.
Okay.
Right. They lost to Hofstra.
I seen them live.
Kelvin Sampson. Look, we can address this in last call. We'll give you a chance. We'll give you a chance to do your love song for Amir. But Kelvin,
hey, let me clarify before. Hey, hold on. Let me clarify before Big 12 Twitter gets right all back over me right here. It's a great league. I'm just kidding. But like, what Houston's going to do? Like. It might be. However,
the head guy of the net really guy, wasn't he with the Big 12? The guy that
yep, it was me.
Kind of like, yeah. So come on, man.
Yeah, but my whole thing was I compared it to the ACC, which has been an atrocious call, not a bad call, an atrocious call. So I was just what I was going to do, John Henson. I was going to just Larry David this thing and act like it never happened. You know when he got fired and he just walked back into work like nothing happened? Yeah. That's what I was trying to do with this whole ACC.
Nobody's perfect, man. The ACC had about a 7-day stretch where we could argue. About 7 days after the whole year. We had about a 7-day stretch. Then it ended.
I hit those 7 days real hard, and it came back to bite me in the ass. But hey, Big 12 is still going to be great. In Houston, defensively, guys, I mean, they are what they are. They're big. They're physical. Jamal Shedd. Is he a first-team All-American? Very much in consideration. nice little ticker feed there. Appreciate that. But Jamal Shedd, as good as he is, he's been the best player in that league. Taman Livesey at Iowa State has been good enough this season to where you could throw him in that mix. But, like, my God, like, Houston and everybody else. I think Iowa State's right there at it. You have the number one and number two defenses in the country in that conference. And the biggest difference is Houston can score consistently. Iowa State, they can go dry for a little bit. But that all being said, I mean, deep into the second weekend, I don't think Iowa State can get to a Final Four because of what they'll run into in that Elite Eight, just given some of the teams we've already talked about today. But, my God, I mean, that league, I think until you get to Oklahoma, maybe Kansas State. Like, those are very good teams. After that, I think it peters off quite a bit. But, Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, still very good. They've been up and down. Kansas, the thing with Kansas this year, guys, like, if we've said it all year, if they have one guy go down, there's not enough depth there. Like, they have to be remarkably lucky and remarkably healthy because they're so thin. So they were really good for a long time until McCullough went down. Now he's starting to kind of get back into it. But, like, I'm not sure outside of Houston there's another team that I would really consider Final Four legitimate contenders. Iowa State is flirting with it, but I just don't know that they're going to have enough offense whenever they have to really create something in the last 5 minutes of a game when the game's 45-47 or something like that.
I agree. I think Houston's my favorite team to make the Final Four. I just think that the defense they play, their style of play, and, you know, they've been knocking on the door for a long time. And this might be the year they can finally break through. They've been there. They got the experience. They've got the talent. So I don't think anything is going to rattle them, for the most part. And that's my favorite Final Four lock, to be honest. Don't know if they can win it all. But if I had to choose someone, I would pick them.
And then last game we'll hit here on Sirius, and then we'll move over to last call and we'll do our toast tonight on last call. You mentioned Iowa State, T.O. It looked bad. It looked really bad for them. They did not have that home court magic for a lot of the game until they did against BYU. and they win 68-63. You mentioned Lipsy, 19 points there and some big buckets. What is it about Iowa State that you don't like? Because, I mean, from where I sit, I'm just like, man, that team just they were competitive and tough as hell on the road at Houston. You know, they beat Houston at home, and they keep winning. So is there just a drought issue? Like, what's not to like?
That's the thing that scares me the most, is the drought issue. Outside of that, very good. Keyshawn Gilbert was a hell of an ad. They didn't think he was going to be as good as what he is. He's a hell of an ad. Mom Chilovich was like a top 20 kid. Like, they effed Allen on that team. It's just those dry spells, those elongated periods of not being able to score. Like, where do you go? Like, we talked about Tennessee, you go to Connect. You talk about UConn, yeah. You just put it in Cam Spencer or Tristan Newton's hands. Like, where do you go for Iowa State? And I'm probably going to catch hell from every cyclone in a cornfield for saying that. But, like, I'm not saying – I just don't think they have somebody. I hate the state of Iowa, Henson. The whole state. I hate it. Don't like it.
You don't like Iowa State, John? Is that what that exasperated sigh is about?
We played a preseason game in Des Moines.
The only good thing about Des Moines is you can see to Nebraska. Like, that's the only good thing.
I was going to say, the hotel, we pulled up to the hotel, and I felt like it was like I was on a prairie in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I had a good steak. I couldn't find a bar to go to, so that was kind of – that sucked. But other than that, nothing bad to say about – Harrison Barnes was my roommate. I was okay.
Sorry. Well, listen, it's been a fun night here on SiriusXM. We've touched on quite a bit, and we still have a lot to touch on. So we're moving over to stadium for Terrence Oglesby, for John Henson. I'm John Martin. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us here on a Wednesday night. See you tomorrow.